This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a joy to be with all of you in this time of worship, whether you're joining us here in the sanctuary or online. So grateful to be together in the Spirit of Christ this morning, and I welcome all of you. I've had a chance to greet some of you this morning, and I know that this is the first time many of us have been out of the house since before the snow. So welcome to this place, and we're glad that you ventured out this morning. This is a special service this morning, which we do every year. We hear the story of Jesus' baptism, and then we have an opportunity to remember and reaffirm the covenant of baptism in our own lives. And it's extra special this morning because we have baptism of Thomas Michael Reed as well to celebrate. And I want to let those of you who are worshiping from home know that we're doing this. And if you want to take a minute as worship begins and go get a cup of water that you can use as part of the renewal moment, I would invite you to do that. A few other announcements as we gather this morning. This Tuesday at 5:30 is our annual charge conference. Our district superintendent will be with us, and it's a meeting we have every year to nominate our leaders for the upcoming year, to set clergy salaries and to go through our membership roles and do other work of the church. And everybody's welcome. The members of ministry table will be present at that meeting, but we'd love anyone who would like to attend. And you can come in person, room 310, or over Zoom. And there's information about how to get in touch with Trey Harrell to get that Zoom link. Next Sunday, we have a new member class that will be starting. This is a four-week class. We have an in-person option and a Zoom option. In person, we'll be meeting during the Sunday school hour, and then the Zoom option will be at 5 p.m. on Sundays. And we hope that if you've been thinking and praying about becoming an official member of this congregation, that you'll sign up for that class. There's information in the bulletin about how to get signed up. I also want to let you know that our annual leadership retreat, as well as our Project Thrive conversations that we had planned for the third week of January, are going to be postponed. We're hoping that this COVID surge will go down, whatever the word is, and that by mid-February, late February, it'll be much safer for us to gather in person. And it's really important that we can have those conversations in person, if possible. So we'll let you know when we set those dates. And finally, just a little teaser, a preview. We're going to start a new sermon series next week focused on love. The title is Love Always, and we're going to be navigating through the First Corinthians chapter 13 and exploring how we receive and share love as followers of Christ. So if you're able to come in person next week throughout the weeks of the sermon series, we have a treat for you, a gift for you, and that's just a little teaser. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But this morning, we are in a posture to receive the love that is poured out to us in the waters of baptism. So let us receive that love as we worship together.
Thank you. God, your voice moves over the waters. God, your spirit descends on us.
Empower us to live our righteous lives.
God, you call us your beloved children.
We will follow the example of Christ, your son.
Jesus comes to proclaim peace to all who were far off and to all who are near. Through him, all of us have access in one spirit to God Almighty. Therefore, let us confess our sins together that we might receive forgiveness and peace. Living God, when the Spirit descended on Jesus at his baptism, you revealed him as your own beloved Son. You anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Through Jesus, we too are invited into the covenant of baptism. We confess this day that sometimes we do not live into the vows we made. We have sinned against each other and against you. We have turned our backs on injustice and oppression. We have trusted in things that are not from your grace. We have not loved our neighbors fully. And yet, we are still your beloved children. And yet, the remembrance of these vows calls us back to repentance and reminds us who we are and whose we are. Forgive us and grant us we may boldly confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and live according to your will. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God.
Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. If you're worshiping with us online this morning, you may do that by sharing messages in the chat or sharing greetings with people that are worshiping with you this morning. And if you're in the sanctuary, we invite you to offer these signs of grace and peace in whatever way is most comfortable. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. As the people were filled with expectations, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to unite the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork in his hand to clear his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus had also been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to invite any children we have in the sanctuary to come and meet me up here for a moment. And if you're worshiping from home, just to get a little closer to your screens this morning, we can share a special moment together. Thanks for reading, Noah. Helped us imagine the story. Hey, come on up. There's a place for you up here. Welcome, welcome. Good to see everybody this morning. I'm so excited to see you, and I'm so excited about church this morning. Of course, I'm always excited about church, but this morning, come on down. We get to celebrate a baptism. If you turn around, there's a little baby. His name is Thomas Michael Reed, and he's asleep. He didn't even wake up when the organ was playing, so he's a good sleeper. But in a few minutes, he's going to come forward, and I'm going to put some water on his head and baptize him. And one of the things that tells us is that that water is like God saying to him, "I love you, no matter what." When we got together at 8:45 for the early service, it was pouring down rain in the middle of the service. And I thought to myself, that's also kind of like God just pouring love out to us. I think God is always saying, "I love you, I love you, I love you," to you and to me and to everybody in the whole world. And so one of the things I want to make sure we do in church is to remember that God loves us. And today, after the sermon, we're going to have a chance to come forward. Now, if you're in children's church, you might get one of these too. But we're going to be handing out these little blue beads that kind of look like water, don't they? They're little blue beads, and we're going to hand them out so that people can look at that and think about the fact that the waters of baptism remind me God loves me, and I want you always to know that God loves you no matter what, and nothing will ever change that. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for the many, many ways you tell us every day that you love us. When we get to see a baptism, when we hear the rain, when we look at the beautiful earth, when we see the animals, when a friend hugs us, so many different ways that we get to receive your love. Thank you, God, for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, if you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie. And if you're older than that, you can return to your seats with family. And Pastor Nancy, too, just follow her out. A couple of weeks ago, someone asked me, "What is your favorite worship service here at the church?" And I was actually stumped. I had trouble coming up with one answer because the truth is, it's like whatever big service is coming up next. Oh, that's my favorite. So Jazz Mass is coming. Oh, Jazz Mass, that's my favorite. Or Ash Wednesday. Oh, I love Ash Wednesday. Or Easter, of course. Who doesn't love Easter? And so I was not surprised that this week, as we prepared for this service of remembering our baptismal covenant, I thought to myself, oh, this is my favorite. I love this service of worship. We get to hear the story of Jesus' baptism, and then we get to remember our own baptism, if we have been baptized, or we get to hear more about what baptism means. We get to hear that voice that spoke to Jesus at his baptism, speaking to us, the one that said, "You are my beloved child. In you I am well pleased. We need to hear that over and over and over again. And so every year on this Sunday, I get to say that as plainly as I can to each and every one of you. You are God's beloved child, and God is delighted in you. And if that is all you hear today, thanks be to God. But as I read the account of Jesus' baptism in Luke's gospel this week, as I pondered over what happened at his baptism and what it means for us in our baptisms, I was drawn in a slightly different direction. I was caught by what John the Baptist said as he was preparing the crowds for the arrival of the coming Messiah. He said to them, "I baptize you with water, but there is one who's coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Now, the word for Holy Spirit here is basically wind, pneuma. He will baptize you with wind and fire. What does that mean? What can wind and fire teach us about what God is up to in our lives through the Holy Spirit? And so I want to explore these images a little bit with you this morning. John the Baptist gives us a vivid image of wind. And it's not one I've ever thought about that much because I don't know why, I'm not a farmer. But as I explored what this image is all about, it's really powerful. He says it's like a farmer who takes his winnowing fork, like a pitchfork with several prongs, and lifts up the wheat that he's harvested to the wind. And that allows the wind to blow through the grains of wheat and to carry away the chaff, to carry away that which cannot be turned into bread, to carry away that which is not useful, is not helpful, so that what you're left with is the pure grain. And I wonder if that's a great image for us to think about what the Spirit can do in our own lives. If we can lift up to God our whole lives, all the good, the bad, and the ugly, and lift it into God's love, the Holy Spirit can blow through our lives and begin to help us let go of the things that do not serve us, to release the things that do not come from God, to take away from us those things that keep us from a right relationship with God and with others. So what I'd like to invite you to do is to take a moment to, and if it helps to close your eyes, to close your eyes, or maybe to get a pencil and paper and write down, what are some of those things in me that I would like God's help to let go of? To picture that wind blowing through the wheat and carrying those things away. Maybe it's a habit of self-talk that is not helpful. That way of telling yourself again and again, I'm not worthy, I'm not enough, I don't belong. When here we have a Holy Spirit who is reminding you of your belovedness and your delightfulness in God's eyes. Maybe it's an attitude of resentment towards someone or some group of people or toward the past in some way that needs to be released. Maybe it's an addiction that you're struggling with that needs to be lifted up into the light of God. Whatever it is, worries, anxieties, anything in your life that you feel like you need the Spirit's help to let go of, hear these words of John the Baptist and the work of the Holy Spirit blowing through the wholeness of your life. He will baptize you with wind and fire. What does it mean to be baptized with fire? Since this is something in Luke's gospel, I wonder if Luke, who also wrote the book of Acts, is pointing ahead, foreshadowing a little bit what happens on the day of Pentecost, after Jesus' resurrection, when all of his followers are gathered in one place and the Holy Spirit comes upon them like flames of fire over each one of their heads. And suddenly they're empowered to be speaking languages they never learned. They're sent out across the globe to spread the love of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Perhaps that is a reminder to all of us that there is a flame of the Holy Spirit within each of us, and that we are empowered and ordained to be ministers of the gospel. If you were baptized in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, you were also ordained as a minister of the gospel. So there is work that you are called to do. God has placed within you a flame to inspire you to live out your calling, whatever it may be. This past week, I read a beautiful obituary for Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Stacy mentioned when she preached a couple of weeks ago that he passed away. And the writer was talking about this fire that Bishop Tutu had within him. It came out as a sparkle in his eye, putting out of light, as a display of kindness to the world, a twinkle. Sometimes it came out in righteous anger. In the face of oppression, he said he couldn't help but speak. There was like a fire in his belly, and he couldn't help himself. He had to speak up. The flame of the Holy Spirit inspires us in different ways. Most of us will never be a Bishop Tutu. But maybe the Spirit is nudging you to reach out to a neighbor, to make a phone call to that person who's been on your heart and your mind for 3 weeks now, to step out and speak up about something that is burning in your heart and in your life. But there's no doubt about it. The Holy Spirit has placed a fire within you, and you are called to ministry. So we are reminded on this day that baptism is not only the belovedness being poured out upon us, but it is the wind of the Spirit working on us every day to purify us and refine us. And it is the fire of the Holy Spirit igniting within us to send us out in ministry to the world. You know, in just a minute, we're going to invite the family of Thomas Michael to come forward. But all of us together are going to answer the questions, the vows of baptism, and renew those vows in our lives. And together we're going to baptize Thomas Michael. And then, the baptism's not over at that point. Then we're going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit to be at work in his life. A baptism of water and the Spirit. And so my prayer is that all of us will hear in that prayer the gift for us. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Thanks be to God. Amen. And so now we want to move toward that baptism of Thomas Michael and the reaffirmation of baptism for all of us as we join in this time of reaffirming the covenant of baptism together.
It is a joy to celebrate the sacrament of baptism, even as we renew our baptismal covenant. This morning, Matt and Grace Reed bring their son, Thomas Michael, to God before the community of faith for baptism. All of us will share in answering the ancient questions of baptism as those who are baptized renew our vows alongside of Matt and Grace.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift, poured out upon us without price. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism. We acknowledge what God is doing for us and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. And so for these first three questions, I want all of us to answer them together. I would invite you in the congregation, as you're able, to stand and let us answer these questions alongside Matt and Grace, who bring Thomas Michael forward for baptism today. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do. The congregation may be seated. As now we ask a question particularly to you, Matt and Grace, as you bring Thomas Michael here for baptism, I ask you, will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, we will. My friends in the congregation, will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. This is the water on which God breathed and the Spirit brooded when God began creating us, all creeping things, all people.
This is the water that drove up the trunk of the tree whose branches bore the fruit we weren't to taste.
This water covered the earth deeper than the Himalayas when God wanted to start over. This is the foot of the rainbow that's meant to tell us that God won't destroy the creation again.
This is the water of the river Jabbok, where Jacob still wrestles with God.
This is the well where Joseph was left for dead by his jealous brothers.
This is the water that opened at Moses' command when God led God's people out of slavery. This is the water by which Miriam and the women danced the rhythms of liberation.
This water sprang from rocks in the desert when the people started whining to go back to the way things used to be.
And these are the salty tears King David shed when Nathan accused him of the worst sin. These are the tears he shed when he pleaded to God for forgiveness and got it.
These are the waters of Babylon, by which our ancestors sat down and wept, their harps and tongues silent for homesickness.
And this is the water that broke in a barn in Bethlehem.
Out of this water, John pulled a stunned Jesus in the River Jordan, the day they saw the dove and heard from deep within the voice that said, "You are my beloved. In you, my heart sings for joy."
This is where those men heaved and hauled nets until love came to town and called them to even harder work for even less pay.
This is the water that became wine at a wedding in Cana.
Peter sauntered on this water and then sank, and then was rescued, setting the pattern of a disciple's life.
This is the well in Samaria where Jesus chatted, unchaperoned, with a so-called disreputable woman. This is the living water that quenched her thirst forever and restored her dignity.
This is the spittle that came from his mouth when he restored hearing to those who could not hear, and sight to those who could not see.
And this is the water he used to cut his wine at his last meal.
These are the tears that fell that last night in the garden.
This is the sink that Pilate used to wash his hands when he pronounced the death sentence.
And these are the wet faces of the women whose grief at the cross could not be quenched.
This is what Jesus thirsted for at the hour of his death.
This is the tomb from which Christ blasted. This is the opening. This is the way.
And this is the water that binds us to him when shame and sin and death are destroyed. This is the water that reminds us who we are and whose we are.
Okay, Thomas Michael, you've been so good and so patient. And now it's your turn, your very special day, for you to receive this water. Thomas Michael Reed, I baptize you in the name of God who created you, Christ who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who sustains and comforts you. Amen. Yeah. And now we're going to all place a hand on Thomas Michael, Mom and Dad, and all of us to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in his life. Thomas Michael, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay, we're going to invite you all to come right here. Thomas is wearing a gown that his grandmother made, that his mom was baptized in, so it's a very special moment for their family as well. And we're going to take this time to make our promises to you, Thomas, as a congregation, as your family in faith.
Would the congregation please rise in body or in spirit and face Thomas Michael. Members of the household of God, I commend Thomas Michael to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Thomas Michael, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Amen. You may be seated, but now it is our turn. It is time for you to come forward as you feel led to receive a symbol of baptism. There will be several of us standing here with these bowls of beads made to look like water. If you'll just come with your hands open, you'll receive a bead with dripping with a little bit of water as a reminder of God's love for you. If you're unable to come forward, I'll be making my way around after I serve the choir, and I can serve you in your seats where you are. We also have on the transept sides some cups with the bead in them. If you'd rather not receive them directly from someone's hand, you can come around this way and get one for yourself. And then all of you, as you receive, are welcome to kneel in prayer at the altar rail as you ponder the meaning of baptism in your own life. It's time for us now to remember our baptism and be thankful. Come forward as you feel led. once again. May the Holy Spirit, the wind and fire of the Spirit, work within you and within us, that having been born through water and the Spirit, we may live as Jesus' faithful disciples all the days of our beautiful lives. Amen.
As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up to God your silent and your spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of abundant grace, in these moments of reflection, when the year is new, when we have touched the waters of baptism, we remember your faithfulness toward us. We give you thanks that your grace has gone before us, sometimes when we haven't even been aware of its movement. We give you thanks that your grace is present now, in this very moment, inviting us into the saving work of Christ and into deeper relationship with you. And we give you thanks that your grace will go with us into the future, nudging us, prodding us, calling us to be more like Jesus, helping us to be more holy. O God, there are many who need an extra measure of your grace this day, and so we lift them up to you. We remember those who are sick, those who are in pain, those who are nearing death. We remember all who are weary, all who are lonely, all who are discouraged. We lift up to you those who are hungry, those who do not have adequate shelter, and those who suffer from violence or oppression. O God, may your grace be present with all of these people, whether in chaos and disruption or in quiet moments of connection, in the caring actions of another or in the acts of justice within a community. May your comfort and healing power be as close as our very breath, and may the fire of your Holy Spirit burn away all that which is not life-giving and life-affirming in our world and in our lives. All of our prayers, O God, both spoken and unspoken, we offer to you in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As people who have passed through the waters of baptism, let us make our grateful offering to God, our Redeemer, this morning. You may give online via our website, westendumc.org/give, or for those here in the sanctuary, there are boxes at the doors to the sanctuary where you can leave an offering on your way out this morning. Now let us give our offerings with joy.
and spending time with, I would encourage you to take that home with you and pray over it. What an invitation it is, but now it is time to go back out into the world. May we go as those who are convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt of our own belovedness, those who are open to God's movement in our lives to keep working on us, and inspired by the fire of the Holy Spirit to go and be all that God calls us to be. And may that give us peace. Amen.